Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. When we consider the Psalms and the studies that we have been engaging in for the last couple of weeks, I couldn't help but to think about this particular psalm in its context. I thought about how David here, or the psalmist rather, thought about the faithfulness of God and how God is indeed faithful. And one of the things that I want us to capitalize on this morning is that when we approach God, that we approach him in faithfulness, because he indeed is faithful to us. We're going to be looking at this particular text here in a few minutes, but we're going to take a detour and we're going to come back to it, because I want us to take into consideration what God did for us and why we should come to him with the right attitude. The Bible teaches us in John 4, verse 24, that God is spirit. That means that God is invisible. He is immortal. In 1 Timothy 1, and verse number 17, the Bible there teaches that concept, that God indeed is immortal, which means he cannot die. God will always be one who lives. Yet God also made us in his image. In Genesis 1 and verse 26, God made us in his image, which means that God made us that we will not die. What do we mean by that? That God put his spirit within us. He breathed into us the breath of life, Genesis 2 and verse number 7, that spirit. The spirit, the soul of man, that will always exist somewhere. We consider this very God that Jesus Christ came to declare, John 1 in verse number 18, that the only way that we can know who this great and faithful God is, someone had to come and demonstrate him to us. Jesus did that. Jesus was the one that came down here to demonstrate to us who is this great God and what he is. In Job 7 and verse number 17, Job would say himself, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, that you set your heart upon him?" God is mind. He is intelligence. He is spirit. He is invisible. He is also love. But how do we know this? We know that God is immortal. We know that he is invisible. We know that he is everywhere, because the psalmist said in Psalm 139, verses number 6 through 10, that he is everywhere. The psalmist there would say, "If I go to the depths of Hades, you're there. If I go to the heights of the air, you're there. I cannot go anywhere from your spirit." And why should he? But not only is God everywhere, but God's thoughts are great. We know God's thoughts are great because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. But we also see that in Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. But I want us to take notice of Psalm 33. In Psalm 33, verses 14 and 15, and really verses 13 through 15, here we'll see that God, who made us in his image, is concerned about every last one of us individually. Now think about this very obscure passage here. In Psalm 33, in verse 13 and following, "The Lord looks from heaven. He see all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. That's all the peoples. He fashions their hearts, their minds, their will, their intellect, their souls. Notice, individually. He considers all of their works. You know what that says, friends? That says that every last one of us, God knows. And every last one of us, God cares about. And every last one of us are different. Now, that's powerful. But let's consider some more things as it relates to this great God in our introduction. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7, we're not going to read all of it, but I want us to see who is this great God. I brought this passage out before. We'll bring it out right here again. In Exodus 34, sometimes we want to know, who is this God? Is he just some man that's up there looking down, hoping that we mess up? No, sir, no, ma'am. That's not him. This God that created us is the God who had proclaimed himself. In Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7, notice what your Bible says. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed, the Lord God. Notice who he is, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Who is this God? This is the God of heaven right here. This is a depiction of who Jehovah is. He is the one that made us in his image and gave us his spirit. He gave us his mindset, his intellect. And the reason why is because God desires for us to know who he is, and he desires for all of us to act accordingly, to behave ourselves in such a manner. Turn your Bibles, if you can, to the book of Micah, which is right after the book of Jonah. The book of Micah, chapter 6 and verse number 8, here we see that God demonstrates to us through the prophet Micah of the behavior and the type of people that we should be. What does this have to do with Psalm 100? You'll see. In Micah 6 and verse number 8, notice what your Bible here says that God requires of us. He has shown you, O man, what is good. In the Hebrew, it literally means what is pleasant, what is agreeable. And what does the Lord require? What does the Lord seek of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, friends, we see who God is in Exodus 34, but we also see what God requires of us in Micah 6 and verse number 8. Friends, when we consider this great passage of Scripture, God requires us to be a spiritual people. But why? Because he himself is spirit. But why? Because he himself sits high and he looks low and he desires true worshipers. He desires individuals to love him for who he is and to not make up their own God. God desires for us to be a spiritual people. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5, look at verses 3 through 9. In Matthew 5, verse 3 through 9, here we have the Sermon on the Mountainside. And here we have mentalities, attitudes, dispositions, thought processes, behaviors. Blessed are the pure in spirit, or the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Friends, Jesus, as he talks to these Galilean Jews, talks about a certain mindset, a certain attitude that individuals who are spiritual are supposed to have. But drop down to verse 13 and look at verses 13 through 16. For in these verses, here we see that Jesus is calling the people to come together holistically and to be something. To be what? Well, in verse number 13, Brother Austin, he desires for us to be the salt of the earth. Notice, here in this particular passage, we are called to come together to be a collective preservation agent. When you consider salt, salt preserves. We're to come together and be collective in our preservation. I'll get the word right. Collectively. Collectively, we see in the next verse, we're to be the light, verse number 14. Now notice, the light of the world. We come together and we are collectively being a provision of light. People ought to be able to see us come together and say, I want to be part of that, because that is illumination. That's light. But then we see that we're supposed to be that city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. Friends, when we see in verse number 14 that city, collectively we ought to be a population agent. So we see three things. Number one, we see a preservation agent, a provision agent, and a population agent. With the salt, with the light, we're a city. And when we come together, then we come together to worship God, to be agents for God, to represent God together. But what does this have to do with Psalm 100? You'll see here in a few minutes. Because when we consider the mindset that God desires for us to have, friends, and everything that we have established thus far is spiritual. Let's go ahead and take a time out real quick. It's difficult in this world that we live in to keep a spiritual mindset because of all of the carnality around us. All of the worldliness. All of the immaturity that is around us. It's hard for us to stay focused just upon the Word of God because we have so many things distracting our attention. Yet, God knows that we have the willpower to do so. As a spiritual people, we ought to be concentrating on the inner man, the invisible man, the immortal man that is within us. The Bible teaches us in Job 38 and verse number 36 that it is God that put wisdom in the inward parts. God did that. The inward man. At times we look at the flesh and we identify with the flesh. I am my body. But friends, we are not our bodies. We are the man or the woman, the soul that lives within us. This is why we have to be a people who desires the law of God, Romans 7, verse 22. It is in the inward part. It is the inward man that must be cleansed. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 51, verse number 6 and following. In Psalm 51, here we see something very important as it relates to our train of thinking for this morning. In Psalm 51, starting at verse number 6, notice what your Bible there has to say. Psalm 51, starting at verse number 6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. That's the soul of man. That's his intellect. That's his will. That's his emotions. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear the joy, hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. Here it is. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit, where? Within me. Notice that, friends. Here, the psalmist here, as he is begging God, clean me up, purge me, help me, and hide your face from my iniquity, my sin. Why is that important? That's important because, friends, as a people, we must be concentrating on the spiritual man. Everything that we read, everything that we take in, everything that we imbibe as people is going to determine and govern how we think. It's going to govern and determine how we approach God if we do so. When we consider the inner man, it is the inner man that should be meditating upon the law of God daily. Psalm 119, verse number 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. It is the inner man that should desire understanding. Psalm 119, verse 130. It is based upon the pure word of God. Psalm 19, verses 1 and following. It is true, God's word, Psalm 119, verse 160. Friends, when we consider the inner man, it's the inner man that must be spiritual if he's going to approach God, not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday. In Ephesians chapter 3, turn your Bibles there as we look at verse 16 and 17, I believe it is. In Ephesians chapter 3, follow this train of thinking. So when we get to Psalm 100, it will make more sense. In Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse number 16, notice what your Bible says. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, this is talking about God, to be strengthened with might through his spirit, where? In the inner man. Hold on, that's the same inner man that Paul was talking about in Romans 7:22. The same inner man that the psalmist is talking about in Psalm 51. The same inner man that Job spoke of in Job 38. Friends, the inner man is the spiritual man. But notice verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, notice, through faith. How will Christ dwell in us? Through faith. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How will the inner man be strengthened? The inner man is strengthened, Brother Braswell, through the word of God. Through a proper relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Through a proper understanding and reverence for God, Psalm 36, Proverbs 1, verse 7. Why is this important? It's important because God desires for us to be a spiritual people. And God just doesn't desire me to be spiritual today. But God desires for me to be spiritual on my job. In the midst of any persecution and any temptation. And this is why in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11 that we need to abstain from all fleshly lusts that war against the soul. The inner man. What about this inner man? Here's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Who am I? That's a great question. Oh, sometimes we can spend hours and hours on the outward appearance. But friends, God looks at the heart. God looks at what's going on the inside. In our worship to God today, did we remember the Lord's death? Did we sing with all of our fervor? Did we remember what Jesus Christ did for us? Did we reflect upon our own life? Did we pray when the brother was praying? Friends, when we consider these things, God wants that inner man to be just like his son. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 and look at verse number 16. And here we'll have a very clear passage of what it means to be in the Spirit. In Galatians 5 and verse number 16, notice what Paul says by inspiration to these Galatian brethren who were being championed over by some Judaizing teachers. They were trying to get them to go to some other way of doctrine. That's Judaism. He says, no. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I ever want to not fall into the flesh, then I need to concentrate on the inner man. I need to concentrate on the Spirit's teaching. Notice the results of the teachings of God. Drop down to verse 22. Put your seatbelts on. You'll feel some turbulence here. But the fruit of the Spirit, that which the Spirit produces. Hold on. It is the Spirit, through the teaching of the Word of God, that will produce certain characteristics, mentalities, ideas in the heart, in our souls. Notice, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let's stop there because we want to read verse 24 here in a minute. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, did you hear those characteristics? Did you hear what the Spirit is going to produce in our lives that's going to cause us to be spiritual people? A people who love. A people who have joy. A people of peace. A people of long-suffering. A people of kindness and goodness and faithfulness, meaning they're trustworthy, and gentleness, and one who controls their own soul, body, and will. And notice what he says. Against such there is no law. But notice the next verse. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh, notice, with its passions and desires. Oh, friends, the passions and desires are all around us. And this is why we must be very careful with the outward circumstances that befall us. Because it is the outward circumstances that create internal desires. It is the internal desires because of long habitual practices that is going to cause the soul to will, the will and the mind to act. Which means that if I surround myself, listen to this, friends, with people of these characteristics, it's going to create internal desires to be just like that. And it's going to cause me to actually be a person who desires to love and have joy and to be a person of peace and long-suffering kindness. Do we struggle in these areas? I say yes. And the reason why this is important, friends, is because God desires for us to put away the childish things, to put away the material things. And what I say by that is the distractions of this life, and to focus in on the spiritual things. And when we focus in on the spiritual things, God says, I will add these things unto you. I will take care of your life. Wow. God, you want me to be spiritual? I don't only want you to be spiritual. I need you to be spiritual. I'm begging you to be spiritual. Brother Bonner, where do you get that? Where do you get God begging us? He sent his son. I'm begging you, be spiritual. Look at Colossians 3. In Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse number 1. Here he says, since then, when you was raised, some versions say if, in the Greek is literally since, because he's talking about those who have been immersed into Christ, and now they've been raised, and now they're living for the Lord. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, hold on, what's your life? Sometimes we say, well, oh, my wife, she's my life. My husband, she's my life. That car is my life. That job, that's my life. No, when Christ, your life appears. Oh, you're going to be spiritual. Christ has to be your life. It's all about him. And no wonder the Apostle Paul would say in Galatians 2 and verse number 20, notice what your Bible there says. In Galatians 2 and verse number 20, notice what the Bible there says. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul, what are you saying? I have laid down my life. The inner man is ruling me. The outward man is perishing every day. It's all about being spiritual and seeking those things that are above. Why? Because that's where my Lord is. He's spiritual. Therefore, I'm spiritual. One more passage and then we'll go to Psalm 100. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll find some very powerful, powerful things that God desires for us to do. These are characteristics of a spiritual individual. And friends, I know you want to be spiritual because you're here. I know you want to be spiritual because maybe you're struggling through this life, trying to be faithful, trying to be trustworthy, trying to be obedient. And friends, you can stop trying and just go ahead and do it. And the reason why you can stop trying, because Jesus is the one that's leading the way. And no wonder Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1, follow me even as I follow Christ. He would tell the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians 5 and verse number 1, be ye imitators of me as dear children. Follow me and I'll get you home. Notice in 2 Peter 1 and verse number 5, but also for this very reason, given all diligence, meaning hurrying up, add to your faith virtue. That's moral excellence. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. That's self-control. To self-control, perseverance. That's hanging in there. Don't give up. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on spiritual things. Stay spiritual. Why? Because you're adding to your faith. You're developing your conscience. You're being a spiritual individual. And if we're going to come before the Lord with singing, and we're going to come into His glory, friends, we got to have the characteristics that His Son had. And He has these characteristics to continue to fight the good fight, to continue to go to the cross. Why? Because I got to show these people that I'm an example worth following. Notice what he says. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things, Brother Brian, do you see this? If these things be yours, do you see this? And they abound. See, it's not just obeying the gospel and then it just kind of laying it to the side, Brother Don Cheek. No, it's abounding. Here, I've obeyed the gospel. I've learned these things and I'm continuing to learn more and more about this great man of God who is spiritual, who came to talk about and show us about this invisible, immortal God who I long to see one day. Abound. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful, Galatians 5, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, some brethren have the nerve to say that you don't have to do anything. But he says, if you do these things, you will never stumble. Hold on. I can obey God. I can be spiritual and never fall away from God. I can. Don't let no one tell you, please, I beg you, don't let no one tell you that, you know what, sometimes you just gotta fall away from the Lord in order to really know who He is. No, you don't. Stay faithful. Stay trustworthy. Stay spiritual. Why? We are a spiritual people. Notice what he goes on to say. For an entrance, verse 11, will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You hang in there. You keep adding to your faith. You keep doing what is right. You keep being spiritual. Jesus is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Just stay with it. Now, I said all of that. Let's go to Psalm 100. Wow. You know, Brother Dennis, you can study something and it's like, man, that's good. But after you think it through, you actually hear the words, it's real good. It's real good to be spiritual. And you know what we struggle with? Being spiritual. That inner man, depending on the outward circumstances, that's why it matters who you hang around. It matters who you hang around. I ain't forgot about Psalm 100. I'll be back there in a second. It matters who you hang around physically. Y'all go here. It matters who you hang around virtually. Because now we got to talk about virtual fellowship. You better watch, parents, watch what your kids are playing online. There's a lot of cussing online. Right. Somebody help me out. Watch that. Watch who your children are hanging out with online. Why? Because if you desire for your children to be spiritual, but they got their headset on and they hearing all that cussing, I guarantee you it's nullifying what you're putting in them. So now we look at Psalm 100. Because the psalmist, whether it is David or anybody else, this psalmist was thankful. He's praising God for his faithfulness. And one thing that we ought to do, we ought to be thanking God because he's faithful. He's trustworthy. Hebrews 6 and verse 10, he doesn't forget the good that we do. Notice what your Bible says. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye peoples, all ye lands. Oh, the spiritual man is eager to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Friends, only we ourselves can answer this question. When I'm singing to the Lord on the first day of the week, when I'm singing to the Lord in my vehicle, am I joyful? Does someone have to make me have joy in my heart, friends? To be spiritual is to be joyful. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is joy. If I'm going to be joyful, I gotta first be spiritual. Why? God is spirit, and he wants me to approach him in a spiritual manner. But notice, the spiritual individual serves the Lord with gladness. He's not made to serve the Lord. Friends, if you are being made to serve the Lord, or if you're serving the Lord grudgingly, I really don't want to do this, then stop. Then stop. For the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, even in our giving, it shouldn't be of necessity or grudgingly. For God loves a hilarious giver. He loves a giver that said, I can't wait to put my sacrifice, my offering into the plate. Why? This is going to aid the kingdom of God, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. Serve the Lord with gladness. Here it is. Come before his presence with singing. The spiritual man is prepared to come before God and sing with all of his heart. Oh, this psalmist here, I can just see him as he is stating this, as he is saying this, as it's being read. You think about the spiritual man. The spiritual man knows that the Lord, he is God. He doesn't put anything and anyone else before God. God is number one. If I ever fall away from the Lord, you don't have to ever worry about me going into denominationalism. Why? Because I know that there is only one God. One God. For it is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. The spiritual man understands that he's humble, that without God I am nothing. It is in him that I live and move and have our very being. The spiritual man understands that we are his people collectively. We are the sheep of his pasture. Don't run past that word sheep, because sheep need guidance. Sheep need one another. Sheep need a pasture to come to. And this is why we come together every first day of the week. We're so glad to see this great number here on this morning. You keep coming back. You keep getting fed. You keep growing in grace. And you keep loving God. Wow. The spiritual man enters into his gates with thanksgiving. Oh, I have a thankful heart. Have you ever been unthankful? I have. You know the best way that we can show God that we're thankful? Obedience. Obeying his will. That's a way that you can show God that you're thankful. And into his courts with praise. Oh, he's not talking about stuff outlandish. He's talking about the right attitude that comes out in his singing, comes out in his attitude, comes out in his adoration toward God. He wants to draw God close to him. And I'm reminded of what James said, draw near unto God and he'll draw near unto you. He wants him to be close to him. A spiritual man has to have God close to him. And when he finds himself getting away from God, he says, no, I need to get right because God doesn't move. I'm reminded of an old story. It was this old man. When he married his girlfriend, childhood sweetheart, they had a two-door pickup. She sit next to her boyfriend and snuggled up on him. He's driving. He's trying to shift gears. Her leg's in the way. They get married, and 5 years later, she moves over a little bit. 20 years later, she moves over a little bit more. 50 years later, she's next to the door. Like, baby, why are you so far away? He said, baby, I'm driving. I haven't moved. You get there when you get home. You know one thing about God? He don't move. He's in the same place. If you ever feel a distance from God, guess who moved? It's us. Let's stay close to God. And this is why we need one another. This is why the church is important. And this is why the church, members of the Lord's church, has to understand verse number 5, for the Lord is good. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Come back. We're going to talk about the goodness of God. God is good. And we need to understand that. And we need to remind one another of how good God is. The Lord is good. Why? His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. You know what that means? It's interesting that it doesn't matter what generation from Adam to us right now, God has been good. And he's still good. Question. Are you spiritual? Are you spiritual? We said all that just to ask that question. Are you spiritual? Are all of your decisions based upon Spirit's teaching? I'm talking about every last one of them. Every last one of them. Does every word that come out of your mouth have some spiritual idea, connotation to it? Last thing you want to be known as being a Christian is one that cusses all the time. That's not spiritual. That's carnal. Friends, we're Christians. If the world is going to know that Jesus Christ is alive, outside of this book is those who apply it to their lives. Do you build up? Do you use words that build people up? Or do you tear folk down? Friends, we need husbands that build up, wives that build up. We need elders that build up, preachers that build up. We need churches that build up. There's enough tearing down out there. We're spiritual. We're people who walk according to the Spirit. And there ought to be a difference between those who walk according to the Spirit and those who don't. Amen. There ought to be a difference. And I'm thankful for a congregation that loves the teaching of God's Word. But every now and then we need to be reminded that I'm a spiritual being. I have an inward man. I have a soul, I have a will that must be educated, that must be nurtured, that must be cherished. Because this spiritual man is going home one day. It's going home to be with God. But if it's not, Brother Popejoy, then it's going to go to a different home. And there's going to be one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, that's going to be separated from the very presence and glory of God. Friends, we don't want that. We want to be with God right now, and we want to be with God when Jesus comes back and he comes to get his church. He comes to get those who are faithful. He comes to get those who love him. He comes to those who walked in the light, who come for those who walked according to the Spirit. We want to be part of that people. Spiritual. Maybe you're not a child of God. And you know you're not. We're begging you right now. We're begging you. Have a Bible study with us. We got 5 or 6 men in here that I know will stay right now after services. We don't have nothing to do. We don't have nowhere to go. If it takes us 5 hours, we'll get one of those sisters to bring us back a Big Mac. Because that's how important your soul is. And we'll study with you. Because we want you to be saved. We want you to repent of sins. We want you to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. And we want you to be buried in baptism so you can come in contact with the blood of Christ. So you can be identified with Jesus and the church. And when that happens, be faithful. Will you mess up? Every now and then. But God is faithful and just to forgive you. Because He's merciful and He's forgiving. But maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been spiritual. I'm begging you, let's not do that. There are too many people outside looking to us, relying upon us to be spiritual. Whether you're 13 or 113. God is relying upon us, and they're relying upon us to be spiritual. And I'm reminded what Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. If I lift up the cross, people are going to be drawn to Jesus. Let's do that. As we stand and as we sing to save this invitation.